Penguin Random House Audio presents Blood Over Bright Haven, a novel by M.L. Wang, read for you by Maura Quirk. To the DNF crew, for helping me through the deep night. 1. A Field of Flowers. Tommel had taken the long way back from scouting. Against his better judgment, he let down his wolfskin hood and welcomed the wind's needles as he pressed through the howling dark. Tommel's gods were in this cold, as they were in the snow and the crocus stem promise of colour fast asleep beneath the freeze. If this was the last time they ever wrapped their arms around him, he wanted to feel it. What was left of Tommel's tribe waited in a huddle at the edge of Lake Tiron. Massed in the dark, the Kaldoni were alarmingly small against the expanse of ice. Of the several scouts who had peeled from the group to look out for dire wolves, snow lions, and rival tribes, Tommel was the last to rejoin the clan, his return bringing their number to 40. 40 people left of a nation that had once numbered in the tens of thousands. "No pursuers," Bayon said as Tommel passed him. It wasn't a question. The lead hunter inferred everything he needed from Tommel's body language. With life ever dwindling across the plains of the Quen, scouting for danger had come to feel more like a formality than a necessary precaution. It had been 6 months since the Kaldoni had encountered another clan, and years since Tommel had seen a direwolf. The most prolific killer on these plains didn't stalk on earthly feet, and the best scout in the Quen could never sense it coming. "Join your family." Bayon nodded to where Maver and Aris leaned into each other in the dark. "And put your hood up, fool."
"Yes, uncle."
Tommel smiled and drew his hood over his numb ears, trying not to think that this might be the last time Bayon ever snapped at him. Maver was quiet as Tommel slipped into a crouch at her side. Tommel had been taller than his older sister for half a decade now, but to him, she would always be a shelter, a hearthlight when all other love had gone from the world. She met his eyes, then turned to the glow beyond the lake, inviting him to follow her gaze and share her hope. Everything about the country on the far shore was alien. The buildings taller than any tree, the spires piercing the sky like teeth, the boom and whir of machinery. The city of Tiran would never be home, but it was a chance at survival. Magical shielding glittered around the metal metropolis, forming a dome that stretched from the sun-eating mountain range in the west to the lower barrows in the east. That bright work of sorcery protected those inside from winter and blight, everything that had driven the Kaldoni to the brink of extinction.
"Are you ready?"
Aris asked, because that was the kind of inane question he liked to ask.
"No."
Tommel tried not to sound exasperated with his sister's husband, but really, how ready could a person ever be for near certain death? And if not death, than the enormity of the unknown. The plains of the Quen were the only mother Tommel had ever known, brutal but comprehensible if one had the stillness to listen and learn her mysteries. Even as he beheld the city across the lake, his mind couldn't accept the idea that safety could lie within the incomprehensible sorcery on the other side of that barrier. Maver reached over and squeezed Tommel's hand, her grip as reassuring as it had been when they were children, and he came crying to her with nightmares of wolves with many mouths. He wanted to slip his deerskin mitten off and grasp her hand in earnest, in case this was the last time. But there was a silent agreement among the Kaldoni not to say goodbye. They had to keep believing, however irrationally, that they would all live to see the sunrise.
"Tommel,"
Maver said with the soft confidence that told him she could see straight to the doubts massing beneath his composure.
"The worthwhile run is never the short one."
Old hunter's wisdom, based on the days it could take to track and hunt the largest prey, followed by the kind of abstract wisdom only an elder sister like Maeva could give. You know we're not running from oblivion. We're running toward hope. Maeva and Daris's daughter mumbled sleepily on her father's shoulder, and Maeva betrayed her own anxiety by clutching Tommel's hand a little tighter.
And you know Kara's going to be all right, Tommel said, wanting to return his sister's reassurances. If nothing else, Aris can run.
Was that a veiled dig at my intelligence?
Aris raised a bushy red eyebrow at Tommel.
Was it veiled?
I swear, little brother, if my girl wasn't sleeping, I'd deck you so hard.
I know.
Tommel grinned up at his broad slab of a brother-in-law.
Why do you think I waited until she was asleep?
It was a stupid exchange, but it got Maeva to laugh, and that was all that mattered, that their last moments as a family here on this shoreline be warm ones.
It's nearly time.
Elder Sertha's voice creaked like an oak above the murmurs between family members.
Get the blood moving in your legs. Leave your tools and weapons, Bayan added. They're just dead weight.
As instructed, Tommel unslung his bow and quiver and set them in the snow. The simple act of lifting hands off weapons was harder than he had expected. For 1,000 years, the Kaldonai had defined themselves by their hunting prowess. Leaving their bows and spears behind felt like the final concession that they were no longer the apex predators their ancestors had been.
Up!
Bayan walked along the shoreline, pulling the sickly and sleepy to their feet.
It's not getting any colder tonight. If the ice at the warm end is ever going to hold, it will be now.
Already the sliver of returning sunlight had conspired with the warmth from the barrier to weaken the lake ice between the plains and the city of Tiran. Eventually, the heat of summer would melt the impassable snowdrifts at the feet of the mountains, opening marginally safer land avenues into Tiran, but even the most optimistic among the Kaldonai knew the tribe wouldn't last until then. Blight had taken too many of the animals they hunted and the summer crops they would have stored to hold them through the deep night. Crossing the lake now was their only chance. 4-year-old Kara woke as Aris adjusted her weight in his arms.
Papa, she said sleepily. Is Uncle Tommel back?
Yes, sweetling. He's right here,
Aris said. And when Kara still looked worried, he put his nose into her mess of auburn hair to whisper something that made her giggle.
Now hush, my heart. Everything will be all right.
The children, Kara's age and younger, couldn't run through the shin-deep snow and would have to be carried. Thankfully, Aris had retained his mammoth strength through the lean months of the deep night. He could make the 2-mile run under the extra weight if fate allowed it, but that too was a slim hope. The greatest danger out on that lake would not be cold, exhaustion, or thin ice. It would be blight, magnified tenfold.
While you can still breathe, keep moving, Bayan said. Stop for nothing. Turn back for no one, not even your own blood.
The words turned white and hung in the air like a mourning shroud.
We are one blood now, one name with one purpose. Cross. Everyone ready, Elder Sertha said as the last of the Kaldonai took up position along the rocks.
Numbers were supposed to help. No solitary runner ever made this crossing in one piece, but in big groups, sometimes there was a chance.
Prey mentality. Move!
As one, the Kaldonai surged onto the lake. The moment Tommel's boots hit the ice, something changed. Normally, Blight did not announce its arrival to the mortal senses, but this time, Tommel picked up a slight shift in pressure, a promise of evil in the air. White ignited the dark before Tommel, catching one of the teenage hunters who had struck out ahead of the rest of the group. As the light hit the boy's sleeve, he jerked to a stop, and when it flared to illuminate his face,
Tomo recognized the Blight's first victim, Drevin.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?